This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
And Johnny Ramos is here.
Ramos!
On this day after the 4th of July. Glad to have you with us as NBA free agency rolls on, and so does the drama. No, not at the Ramos July 4th celebration. There was no drama. It was just fun and fireworks last night. We're talking about the fireworks that is NBA free agency and really what centers around the Los Angeles Lakers, Jonas, as a team that seems to be in the headlines for so many reasons. Now in the headlines because of their point guard, one Lonzo Ball, and a mysterious knee injury that popped up last week. And we're finding more and more about this meniscus injury, not about the nature of the injury, but how the news actually came out that Lonzo Ball was dealing with a meniscus injury, and there is now a report that he may be a part of why that leak came out.
When there's an investigation into a death or a crime that's been committed or something like that, they always go, when you don't have any real evidence right off the bat, the first thing you do is who benefits the most from the crime, all right? Who's the one who would benefit most from the crime? And so if you just looked at this mysterious injury that came out last Friday after we went on the air filling in for Doug Gottlieb last week, and it came out that Lonzo Ball had a torn meniscus, it was a little curious that that would come out right before NBA free agency started. And so all you had to do, and the second I heard it, I spotted BS. I knew exactly what had happened because the Lakers didn't tweet anything out. Nothing came officially from the team. But this report came out, and it was right before NBA free agency. So all you have to do is tie it together and think to yourself, who benefits the most from it? Who would gain the most from it? And as it turns out, from now being reported by Adrian Wojnarowski and others, that it was the Ball family who benefited most from it.
And let's hear from that ESPN podcast of what Woj said about what went down with the Balls and this leak.
That knee, the meniscus injury that's going to require surgery, I know this, the team didn't want that information out. And I don't believe, at least intentionally, from upper management, there were a lot of teams who, as teams were trying to figure out who wanted to do trades with the Lakers or who thought they might be in position to, they were trying to figure out what was going on with that knee, and I don't think the Lakers wanted anyone to know. And I think there's a belief around there that that information was put out there from around Ball's sphere to keep from getting traded. Because if teams knew he was having knee surgery, well, you're not trading for him. And I think there was concern in there that he might be put in a deal.
That was from the Woj pod on ESPN about the Lonzo Ball camp leaking that information.
And it makes the most sense. They're the ones that benefit the most from it. Their whole goal is to build their brand, Big Baller Brand. That's what it's always been about. And the place that you can build brands the easiest is if you're an LA guy, you're from LA, you played college ball in LA, you're now playing professionally in LA with the rock star franchise in the city, one of the rock star franchises in all of sports. The LA is where you want to be. Trading him away to San Antonio or wherever he would have ended up via trade, if that was a possibility, would have been the worst thing for the brand. The brand is always part of the package deal. And so when you just thought about it, the second I heard it, I said, this sounds like crap to me. He was diagnosed with it after the season. So why did you wait until the eve of NBA free agency to float that out there?
Well, yeah, the point of the brand that you talk about, there's a bigger picture as well, and it's not just LA, and it's something that I felt all along, that when you look at the Big Baller brand, the biggest baller of them all is Lonzo, and it's not LiAngelo, and it's not LaMelo, and it's why those two kids were taken on a whirlwind tour of the world in going to Lithuania to go and play professional basketball and to try to make a story there and to try to keep them in the headlines. Because quite honestly, once Lonzo Ball isn't, and I'm using air quotes, Lonzo Ball, the entire brand falls apart. So you have got to figure out a way to extend this or keep this alive or to keep this going. And once Lonzo Ball becomes an ordinary NBA player, whether it be with the Lakers, whether it be with the Memphis Grizzlies or another team in the NBA, once that happens, there is no more value to be added because LiAngelo Ball won't become the star that Lonzo was at UCLA or was in his first year with the Lakers. The same thing with LaMelo. When you see that brand, LeVar knows that their window was when he enrolled at UCLA and as far as Lonzo would take them in the NBA. And I believe that they are shocked that it may be already coming to an end after just one season in the association. It's played, for as crazy as it is, Jonas, it's played out really well for them.
Oh, yeah.
It up until the De'Aaron Fox game in the NCAA tournament. I mean, Lonzo Ball was the real deal at UCLA and then ended up getting exposed on that stage. Then drafted second overall by the Lakers for a team that, you know what, did need a point guard. And what a perfect fit, and the showtime ability of Lonzo Ball. And now all of a sudden, after 24 months or whatever it's been, it's almost coming to an end. And so this is a last-ditch effort, I believe, by LeVar, because he just knows that the brand then dies after this.
And listen, you can say whatever you want about LeVar Ball. I know he's a blowhard. He talks way too much. Maybe his sneakers aren't the most well-made sneakers. It's like those rubber water shoes you would buy at Walgreens for $7.99. Yeah, that's kind of what they look like. And so, yeah, the product's not that great. His sons didn't exactly play up to the level that he played. But, Dan, we talked about it on the air. It's one of the only times I can think about in recent years where people actually stayed up to watch West Coast college basketball games because they kept hearing about this Lonzo Ball guy.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Morrison was fantastic at Gonzaga. Nobody was staying up to watch that hippie shoot baskets. Nobody cared. He looked like he belonged in a grunge band. Nobody cared about him until he got to the tournament and it didn't work out in the pros. Lonzo Ball, and because of LeVar Ball, they made him something that you wanted to pay attention to and you wanted to watch. So to your point, it's worked out splendidly for him right up until LeBron James signed, and now they have become second fiddle, and it's almost like they're trying to hold on for dear life so they can keep some of the press.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this is that this wasn't a Spurs trade for Kawhi sort of deal. The way that Woj put it in the podcast was that this is for multiple teams.
Yeah.
That this, because the San Antonio thing never fit. But as you're looking around and you're seeing now the Rondo signing and you're seeing the other signings, I mean, for all that we know about the Lakers, and this is in what happened last year, Lonzo in that locker room got along with everyone.
Yeah.
That got, was friends with Kyle Kuzma. And got along with other players. And it was actually, we had heard reports that when Jordan Clarkson was there, that Jordan Clarkson was the one that maybe didn't get along with some of the Lakers players. And that made it a difficult locker room. So when they end up making the trade to Cleveland, I know Lonzo was dinged up, but there also may be something to the way that the Lakers also played better in the second half of the season. But now you've come to a point where LeBron's bringing in his guys and their pieces are coming in, and Lonzo isn't as important, not only just as a trade chip, but it may be that the Lakers are looking at moving him other places to get this team however LeBron James wants it.
And the thing about it, I don't feel the least bit bad for the Lakers. If this is true, and if Woj is reporting it, he's got a pretty good track record, and it seems to make a lot of sense that they would be the ones that would leak an injury. If it's true, look, this is just part of the circus. It's part of the deal. It's not like he didn't play in college and he came out of high school and you didn't foresee any of this drama happening. You had a year of intel knowing what a mess it could possibly be with how much the dad talks and everything that's gone on. He's now criticized your head coach publicly multiple times. He's now called out your training staff for their methods. That's gone public. He's done a lot to burn bridges. Your new teammate, LeBron James, they went at it in the media last year. LeVar Ball, this was part of the deal. And so when people are saying, man, God, he sabotaged a trade for the Lakers. That sucks for them. Sucks for them. You had all the intel in the world, and you still took the guy. You still bought into it. His salesman approach, whatever it is, you bought into because it, and I always thought it was a PR move because it was an LA kid. It was somebody in your backyard. There was a lot of buzz, a lot of hype, and Magic and Rob Pelinka, and they all bought into it. How did you watch Jason Tatum in the playoffs and think to yourself, nah, I still feel good about Lonzo? I don't like Jason Tatum's better than every player on that team outside of LeBron James.
The Lakers are going to be a new look Laker team, obviously, with LeBron James. I'm just wondering now how many games we'll actually see Lonzo Ball in a Lakers uniform. I mean, if he's going to be ready for training camp, do they want to let it work out himself? Do they want to let the Rondo deal? I mean, not only are you bringing Rondo into that locker room, you're bringing Lance Stephenson and other pieces in there. Maybe a season, maybe a game, but this is going to be drama that will continue in Los Angeles.
I just thought of this. Do you think that any of the moves made, like sometimes in hockey or in basketball, occasionally they'll bring in a guy who's there to protect a superstar. You know, Marty McSorley was a guy that was there to protect Wayne Gretzky, and they'll bring in these guys, these enforcers, to make sure that nothing happens to the superstar. Do you think that they brought in guys like Rondo and Lance Stephenson because they know that those guys aren't going to deal with LeVar Ball's crap and LeBron James doesn't have to handle it? Those guys will sort of be the enforcer for LeVar Ball.
Yeah, I think that there's something to that, to bring in that type of player. I know that LeBron appreciated Rondo's basketball knowledge and his IQ. The one thing that struck me odd was that Rondo wasn't afraid to call out Dwayne Wade in Chicago, who's, you know, LeBron's best friend. So I'm wondering, like, okay, does LeBron realize that maybe his stuff won't fly with Rondo? But yeah, I think that there's something to that of having a couple of other pieces in that locker room. But again, I don't think Lonzo is the problem as the player, and it's all about LeVar and what he's trying to do. And this has been a back and forth that people have had. Well, at least he cares about his son, you know, like. No, like there's severe damage to Lonzo's professional career just because of his dad. Now, if you're making other moves to try to counter LeVar, let alone who's going to play best to be your starting point guard, that's a distraction that I don't think has ever happened in the NBA.
I always love that argument too. Well, you know, at least he cares about his son. It would be like you walking into work going, "Hey, what are you looking at? I didn't cheat on my wife." Yeah, you're not supposed to, man. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Like, what, do you want to be rewarded for that?
Yeah, and to hear some of the things. I don't want to get personal, but yeah, it's a mess, and yes, it all starts with LeVar.
Dan Beyer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. You can get Dan on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. You can get me at the Jonas Knox. If you have questions for LeVar Ball, if you have any questions, if you want to get at LeVar Ball, if you want to criticize him, he has set up a brand new Twitter account. It's at JSRamos06. LeVar Ball will answer all your tweets there.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now to talk some football and also about National Cut the Cord Day, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Jarvis Landry joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Jarvis, how you doing today?
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
Things are going well. I've got to ask you this. Since you've been to Cleveland, have you been asked more about Baker Mayfield or LeBron James?
I think they knew about LeBron James, so I'd go with Baker.
No, what are the questions? What do people want to know about your new teammate in Cleveland?
No, man, just, you know, who's going to be the starting quarterback and how is he? Could he live up to the hype? You know, just normal questions.
Jarvis, I always feel that the Browns get sort of an unfair, it's kind of an unfair narrative to it. Now, look, they've had some bad seasons. They're currently in the middle of going through a bad stretch for the organization. But I always thought, when I saw people criticizing the pick of Baker Mayfield at number one, I looked at it and I said, he's never been around this much talent in his career. Same with Tyrod Taylor, with you and Josh Gordon and everything that you guys have amassed there in Cleveland. Do you hear sort of the lazy narratives about the organization, and how does that resonate in the locker room?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I just think that there's been a, you know, like you said, there's been a perception and an aura over Cleveland, and, you know, when you get guys that come from around the league that has won, that has been to the playoffs, you know, especially, you know, speaking on Tyrod, you know, he was on the Super Bowl team with Baltimore. Then taking Buffalo to the playoffs this past year, and you know, just all the moves that, you know, Cleveland has made, and making that quarterback position competitive. You know, I think that's the position that, you know, everybody easily recognizes, and it raises the competition level everywhere else. You know, because everybody wants to make plays. So I think we're heading in the right direction.
Jarvis Landry, the Cleveland Browns, joining us on Fox Sports Radio, teaming up with TCL, America's fastest growing television brand, and in a bit, Jarvis is going to tell us how they're celebrating National Cut the Cord Day coming up on Saturday. What's the difference? What does Cleveland have over Miami now that you have been there? I mean, many would say, man, Miami, what a place to be. But now that you've been in Cleveland, what does Cleveland have better than Miami?
Oh, man. That's tough. The only thing I probably could say is snow, man. Because, you know, my time in Miami has been tremendous. You know, for the 4 years of my career so far, it's been amazing. From the fans, you know, and just the people I've met, the relationships that, you know, I've grown with here in Miami, and now going to Cleveland and just feeling the appreciation and the love and the excitement is something that's second to none as well. So, man, both places are definitely phenomenal. And you know, I'm sure I'm going to love my time in Cleveland as well.
Jarvis Landry with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb. No receiver in the history of the league has more catches over the first 4 years of their NFL career than you. When you first heard about that, what was your reaction?
Just smiled, man. Just smiled and didn't really have anything to say. It's just been a testament to my hard work and my training and, you know, being able to make plays.
Jarvis Landry joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, again teaming up with TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. NBA free agency has been such a topic. You had the franchise tag in the NFL, which personally I think is so team benefit that the NFL, when we try to compare off seasons, which is better, franchise tag is one of the reasons that maybe the NFL's offseason isn't as exciting. What do you feel when you see the contracts given out to NBA players and being an NFL player, knowing what you guys go through, is there any envy in dealing or seeing what the NBA players are getting in their new contracts?
I mean, you know, we don't count money here, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's something that, you know, I think, you know, the union and the NFL union and the players association is fighting for, man. But the likelihood of it, as far as just getting guaranteed contracts or bigger money because of the risk, it's tough. You know, obviously, I do understand that, you know, teams and owners and how they go about it with the franchise tag and the transition tag and all that stuff, it limits you in free agency. You know, it'll tie a guy up instead of letting him go and, you know, get the money that he deserves. It'll tie him up for another year and things like that. While in the NBA, you know, just if you want to go, you can, you know, you want your contracts up, they let you walk, and you end up testing the market, and you decide where you want to go. And you know, I guess that's a perk of playing in the NBA, but that's something that players' union fought for. You know, and it's a lot different as well. You got 15 guys compared to about 60 guys.
Sure. Was there any positive that you saw in signing the franchise tag? I know it allowed you to be traded to Cleveland to get your long-term deal, but was there any positive outside of that with it?
You know, I think the franchise tag just kind of really locked me in at that number for that 1 year. And then, you know, it put me in a situation where if I had got franchise tagged again, you know, now it's like the Le'Veon Bell, I guess you could say, the things that have been going on with him, you know, as far as just two franchise tags. And now it just makes that guaranteed number that much more higher. So, you know, we just figured that if we signed the franchise tag, you know, that becomes, you know, a floor, you know, and we can kind of work off that. As far as long-term money. So we signed the franchise tag, and, you know, we ended up getting traded, but we ended up getting what we wanted in the end.
Browns wide receiver Jarvis Landry with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb. All right, Jarvis, let's cut the crap here. I need to know. You got to be honest with me because I'm fascinated by this. What is Jay Cutler like?
Jay Cutler, he's a guy, man. Like, he's a guy. I think you know, I can't really speak about his time in Chicago and things like that. You know, I've only played with him for 1 year, but he's a guy, man. He's a guy that I developed a relationship really quickly and play with. You know, he's not who everybody makes him out to be. The nonchalant, don't care type of player. He's not that guy.
if you would have stayed in Miami, would you have preferred he be the quarterback or Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, well, you know what? I don't even want to answer that.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, come on. We're off the air. Come on.
No, I don't really want to answer that. Last time I said something like that, you kidding? No, I'm good. I'm good.
Just say Matt Moore and split the difference. It's fine. No worries.
Right. I'll take Matt. I like Matt. Matt is playing.
Find him on Twitter at God_Son80. Jarvis Landry of the Cleveland Browns joining Jonas Knox and myself, Dan Beyer, here on Fox Sports Radio. From Jay Cutler to Cut the Cord Day. Yes, how about that transition?
Yeah,
comes
nice.
Up on
good.
Saturday. Good Thank job. You very much. Yes, you teamed up with TCL for a massive giveaway that's coming up this week. You're celebrating National Cut the Cord Day. How did you team up with TCL?
Me and TCL, we've been partners for the last couple of years, and my relationship with TCL has continued to grow. Obviously through their campaigns, but these guys look out for me for us when I have camps and stuff like that. Other teammates have camps, and there's things that they can donate, whether it's a TV or something like that. They make it all possible. But this week, it's National Cut the Cord Day, so they're giving away 103. 4K TCL TVs, and all you really have to do is go to TCLUSA.com to enter, and you have an opportunity to win a 4K TV.
You got to do that before July 9th. Easier than ever for sports fans to get their fix without paying for cable. Again, the TCL Roku TV offers access to more than 460 sports channels. They still got time to sign up. Again, that address that Jarvis just gave you, TCLUSA.com/cut-the-cord-giveaway. Got to do it before Monday. Jarvis, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. Best of luck in Cleveland, and best of luck answering those Baker Mayfield questions that you're still going to get.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. God bless.
Thank you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
DeMarcus Cousins is a member of the Golden State Warriors. And man, I Jonas and I just are not on the same page on this. This is a signing that you actually like by the Golden State Warriors.
Yes, I love it. It's a simple fact that if we have weaknesses, the goal is to get better. If you feel like you're overweight, you go to the gym, you try and figure out a way to get better. If you think that you're a bad driver, I don't know, figure it out. Take another lesson. Do whatever it is. Like the idea is, if you're not good at something or you have a weakness, you try and identify that weakness and you try and improve on it. That's what everybody tries to do. It's why people make New Year's resolutions. It's why that stuff exists. DeMarcus Cousins has a couple of weaknesses outside of the injury. The injury aside, and it's a severe injury, and we don't know how he's going to bounce back from it because he's a bigger player in the NBA, and we know the history of that injury and what it's done to other great players who were big men in the NBA. He's got two big issues, okay? Two weaknesses. One, the perception is about his reputation that he's a bad teammate and that he's not a winner. There is not a better place in the NBA for him to rehab both of those weaknesses than in Golden State. You're not a winner. Okay, go to Golden State. Surround yourself in a winning locker room, a winning environment. That's something you can sell teams on next offseason when you go for big money. Well, he's a bad teammate. Okay, go someplace where you can't be a bad teammate, because if you are a bad teammate, you're not going to play because they really don't need you. So when people say, man, I just don't like the deal at all, I think it was the smartest thing he could do. He took less money. He's going to play it out for a year, ease back into the lineup, and I think he's going to hit big next offseason.
See, I just don't see him easing in. And this is a guy who hit the free agent market, turned down $20 million a season from the Pelicans, thinking that he was going to make more this season, and ends up finding out that there are no offers. And for some of the things that you mentioned are the reasons why he didn't get the offers. Not a winner, and I say that, never played a playoff game, let's just put it that way. Had some questions about his attitude, especially in Sacramento. There's also the point that I'm not sure on how much DeMarcus Cousins fits in what Golden State will do offensively. And defensively, for a team that is a very good defensive team that may not get the credit that they deserve, I think that DeMarcus Cousins is a liability. And I just don't see the only thing that about this, and And I said this last night when I was sitting in with Mike Harmon. I hear a lot of praise for Golden State and what they did here. DeMarcus Cousins called them.
Yes.
So this is nothing to do with like the Warriors being the Warriors. He was the one that called them up and said, hey, do you guys want me for $5 million? For some reason, the Warriors said yes. And I get the discount, Jonas. I just don't understand how a team that's on top of the NBA with the best team that there is feels that DeMarcus Cousins is the piece where they've already got a gap, I believe, between them and the Rockets. And I think that the Trevor Ariza move to Phoenix really hurts Houston. They're still the best team in the NBA. And I know it's all the Warriors. They're always trying to get better. Well, just because this is available doesn't mean just because it's a really good deal. You know, if you I use the example, I don't know if it's a good example. You have 18 lamps in your living room. But there's a really expensive lamp that is on sale.
The Costco trick.
You bring it in, you're like, yeah, why not use 19 lamps? Like, there's no reason to go and get that lamp, and then guess what? That lamp short circuits your entire living room because you've got so many lamps and everything is ruined. I don't know how his value increases in playing within Golden State's system. It was one thing to bring in Kevin Durant, but now there are other points and places that are going to – their points are going to be taken away. So I just – like, if DeMarcus Cousins is a 10-point, 10-rebound guy next year for Golden State when he actually does play, I don't see how that is a great move. I just – there's so many issues with it, and I just think the Warriors are getting a pass because it's the Warriors. I just – I don't see how it fits. I would have stayed put.
Yeah, that's my favorite when people go to Costco and they come back and go, check this out. 500 toilet paper rolls for $28. What do you think? What are we at a chili cook-off and you're lactose intolerant? So you got cheese on top of it? Why don't you just go buy a bunch of pair of white jeans while you're at it too? It's a waste of money. It makes no sense. So yeah, I get the idea of you didn't need to add them just because it was a good deal. Didn't mean you need to have it. But I'm just looking at his career. He knows. He hears everything about him because the knock on him now is, well, they look like a better team without you. Okay, New Orleans looked like they were better without you. So he knows that that his reputation is bad teammate, not a winner, all of that stuff. To me, there is no better spot, though, that he can rehabilitate it because he's going also from a basketball standpoint to a place that doesn't need him, which means if he were to sign that one-year deal with a team that was desperately in need of a superstar, for lack of a better team off the top of my head, a Dallas or somebody like that, mm-hmm. They would expect him, the second he came back, to be the guy. He could end up coming back early, feeling pressure, whatever it is, and all of a sudden that pressure mounts, and he folds, or he gets injured again, or he's not the player you thought, and it's going to hurt him down the road. In this situation, they don't need him to take over the team. Just come off the bench early on, let's slowly grow into this, and if you're Golden State, what do they got to lose? I mean, I at this point, I don't think they have anything to lose.
I think everything. Like, I think, like, his presence could be enough to derail what they've got. Like, just, I don't, like, if you've got a good thing going, and we had even heard, I mean, remember David West saying at the end of the season, like, man, you guys wouldn't have believed what went on behind the scenes. Well, now you put DeMarcus Cousins in there, and this is the thing, is I just don't think that DeMarcus Cousins changes his way. Maybe this reality of no offers or teams not wanting to offer him is the trigger that changes him. But I just think it's going to end up being the same player that has difficulty getting along with other players or fitting in with the system. And that's where, so when it's nothing to lose because it's a good deal, like that's where I'm just like, no, you do have a lot because you've got a pretty good thing going right now to put that into your rotation or that into your system with no guarantees that he's a changed player. I just don't see it. I'd be a changed player somewhere else that to play for $5 million where you still average 20 points and 10 rebounds and show that you could come back from that. That's the issue that I have. I don't see it. I don't see how it works out well for Golden State.
Then where's the better fit for him? If you were his agent and you were telling him, look, because you've got to identify what it is he's pursuing in this next move. So where would have been the better fit? Because some people have thrown out the Lakers.
I didn't see that with LeBron and in that team either. I thought the Lakers would be interested in him, to be honest, because you needed to make that splash and it would send the message to the fans. We got LeBron and DeMarcus Cousins. I know there's not a lot of money around the NBA, but I think you could have put him on a, you mentioned like Dallas as a team, like, hey, you know, put him in Charlotte and show like, hey, I can move up and down the court and I can still score and I can still be DeMarcus Cousins, put up similar numbers than I did in New Orleans and in Sacramento. And this Achilles isn't an issue. That's where I think like it's not even about winning, because I don't think that DeMarcus Cousins is going to carry a team on his shoulders. I just think to be able to prove that you're going to get 20 points and 10 rebounds and you can get the big contract that you want would be worth it. And if he is only getting 10 points and 8 rebounds, why would anybody want to pay him $25 million next year? Like that's it doesn't add up to me. Going to have 10 points and 8 rebounds for a Warriors team doesn't scream big contract to me.
Okay, Dan. It's got to be done. Listen, I don't like doing this. Yeah. I don't like to put you on the spot, but it's got to be done, all right? So who do you hate more? All right, Dan Beyer, who do you hate more? Do you hate DeMarcus Cousins, or do you hate the guy that kept trying to add side dishes to your wedding plates that you were handing out to your wedding when you were putting it together? The guy who kept adding food onto the side when you told him you just wanted plain this and plain that, and he continued
that
to
was,
harass
that's,
you.
I don't hate DeMarcus Cousins, and we loved the people who provided our food. The only issue was when I said, can we just have corn? And he goes, yeah, we'll make a corn succotash with some of this.
In fact,
no,
for 20 extra grand, we'll have the band corn play.
No, and I get like being a chef and wanting to be creative and not just wanting to open up a can of corn or taking a cob of corn and cutting it off. But that's all that I wanted. Like I just wanted something plain, but the chef and the creative geniuses that these people are like, yeah, we could definitely do that with a, you know, with a reduction of this and combine, you know, maybe throw a little some peppers in to get, you know, really that kick. No, I just wanted corn. Like that's all that I wanted. Yeah, we'll do a corn bean succotash. No, I don't want bean succotash. I don't want that at all. Oh.
All right, so we've cleared that up.
Yes.
I just wanted to know. Listen, it was bugging me all segment.
And in the end, I did not get my way. So
there it is. All right, Dan Beyer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. You can get Dan on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. You can get me at the Jonas Knox. If you would like to tweet at the gentleman who refused Dan's requests at the wedding and continue to butcher his order of corn, you can do so at JSRamos06 and let him know how you feel. Coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, we've got a Hall of Famer in the house. A Hall of Famer in his time, one of the most exciting players in the league. Find out who that is next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Coming up this weekend in Oakland, Friday night, the Big Three hits center stage live on Facebook starting at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And then on Fox Sports 1 at 8 Eastern, you can catch the Big Three live from Oaktown. Joining us now on Fox Sports Radio, he's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Beyer. The Big Three commish, Clyde Drexler, joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Hey, Clyde, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, guys. Delighted to be here. How's everyone?
We are great. I'm excited. We just spent the last 10 minutes talking about how you were my favorite player growing up back in the day, watching the Portland Trail Blazer teams. And I'm going to get to all of the Big Three stuff first. But I do want to go back into your playing days and what it was like. Is there any point in – I know you ended up winning a championship with the Houston Rockets – but is there any point when you look back at those Portland teams, whether it be 90 or 92 or even 91, where you're just like, if this little thing would have just gone our way, I would have gotten a ring there. Was there any point in Portland that you just wish something would have gone a little different to bring home that title?
Well, you know, and thank you for the compliments. You're very kind. I think that when you play the game, it's a team game. And with that in mind, you know, the fact that you're always in the running to be one of the best teams in the NBA is a testament to your hard work, your talent, and your abilities. And we had some great teams in Portland. Now, to win it, I think you got to be lucky enough and healthy enough to pull it out. Think about the Rockets this season. They were the best team, 65 wins. And I think they win if Chris Paul stays healthy. But he goes down for the last two games, and they lose in a nail-biter to the Warriors, who were very good, and they don't win the championship. So quite often, the best teams don't win. And so in Portland, I think that's what happened to us a couple of times, especially in 91. We had the best record in the league, and we just I think we lost one game at home where it was really tough to beat us at home, and that cost us the championship that season. But as in a team game, you could have 60 points, 40 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. But if I don't make the free throws at the end of the game and we don't win, are you not a champion?
Fine line.
He is a Hall of Famer, also the now the Big Three Commissioner, Clyde Drexler, with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb. Clyde, you played for so long at such a high level in the NBA, and you played basketball for so many years in your life. At this stage, how do you feel when you wake up?
I feel great. I've never been out of shape. I try to exercise 3 or 4 days a week and always have. And you never get out of shape. And, you know, my legs, my hips, everything is fine. I mean, knock on wood. I don't want to jinx myself. But I'm not in good enough health to play in the Big Three. Because I got to tell you, the Big Three is a game for guys who can still play in the NBA. It's just professional three-on-three half court. And so while I'm in good shape, I'm 56. Only thing I can do is play good golf. But basketball is not an option at my age.
And now, we were talking about this earlier. Like, if you think back to some of the equipment that you guys had back in the day, like the old Converse shoes, you look at them now, and it's a wonder that you guys were able to play an entire season with all of that, with how the equipment has evolved, training regimens, all of that. How much more of an advantage do current players have than you guys did back in the day?
Well, it's all relative, and it's mostly semantics. You know, the generation before me had the Converse. When I came up, I'm a little bit younger. We had the Dr. J's, which were leather sneakers by Converse. And then Nike came out right around that time. And Adidas was always there. And they were pretty much the three manufacturers everyone wore. Adidas is a partner in the Big Three, and they help us run our community outreach program. They have been a tremendous partner. But for the most part, it's all about playing. Like, we wore like 2-3 pair of socks, and the socks were thick, which means your feet had more padding. Now, with all of the padding in the shoes and the support, you can wear one pair of socks. A lot of NBA players only wear one pair of socks. So it's all the same, basically.
Clyde Drexler joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, the Big Three Commish, and, of course, Hall of Famer and NBA champion. How many pairs of socks did you wear with the Avias that you had back
in
the day?
I always, you know, my signature was 2 pair of socks. Because I needed the spring and the bounce. Because you got to cut on the dime, and you got to jump higher than the square on the backboard. So you need to be ready to roll at all times. But I never tape. But for the most part, you know, everyone's different. That's different for every single guy. Some guys wear, you know, Calvin Murphy, Hall of Famer Calvin Murphy, he wore like 7 pair of socks. And he had incredible spring and bounce. I mean, he was incredible. He was one of the greatest shooters I've ever seen. So it's tremendously all personally driven, and whatever you want to do, that's what I think you should do.
Clyde, was there a player that you went against either in college or in the NBA or maybe the Olympics that had the worst BO of anybody you ever played?
had the worst what?
Had the worst BO.
No, most guys are pretty, they shower and they have and have good hygiene because you're always soaking wet playing basketball. So, you know, your teammates will get on you if you don't shower.
Clyde Drexler joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. You're now the Big Three Commish. What has been surprising about taking over the Big Three as the commissioner of this new league that's thriving in its second season?
Well, it's a phenomenal league. With Jeff Quantmich and Ice Cube co-founders, their vision to start the Big Three has been incredible. The reason I love it is because it's so competitive. Our players are Hall of Fame coaches. Our players are NBA All-Stars, very much household names. You know, there are 4 games. We have only 8 teams in the Big Three, right? So all 8 teams play every Friday, and we only play for 10 weeks in the summer. And so when you go to a Big Three game, we happen to be at the Oracle this Friday in Oakland, you see 4 games. Not one, you see 4 games. You see some of the greatest coaches and players in the game today and in past years. And so it's a festival of great basketball. And that's one of the things I most admire about the Big Three is the fact that we all come from the NBA, but the Big Three is new. It's professional three-on-three, half-court, and the guys are tremendously competitive.
And when you're watching the Big Three and you're seeing some of the players that are there, who are some of the names that you look at as saying, man, these guys could still play in the NBA?
Well, Baron Davis comes to mind right away. Nate Robinson, Steven Jackson. I think guys like Drew Gooden can still play. I think there are a bunch of guys that can still play, really, honestly. And they're all very good. Corey Maggette, Patino Mobley, those guys, Deshaun Stevenson. Those guys are still young enough to contribute. And especially when you watch the NBA, players like 9 through 13, some of those guys are pretty bad. And so our veterans in the Big Three could fill some of those spots easily.
Clyde Drexler joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Beyer in for Doug Gottlieb on the Doug Gottlieb Show. So Charles Barkley was kind of criticizing these super teams in the NBA and said that when he joined your Rockets team in the late 90s with Hakeem Olajuwon, that it wasn't a super team. Is Charles lying to us? Was that a super team at that time when Barkley came aboard and I believe the 96-97 season?
I thought that was a super team. I thought we could still play at a very high level. We were all probably past our prime, some of us more past than others. And but on any given night, I mean, we could give teams fit. And you know, that team won 56 games easily with injuries. And so we could have easily competed for a title. And so I think it was. I just don't think Charles enjoyed his time in Houston. It didn't bring about a championship. You know, when you go to a city that just won a championship and they bring you in the next year to try to bring him back and it doesn't happen, then, you know, that's not a good experience.
We've heard, and Kevin Durant's alluded to this, I can remember Aaron Rodgers sort of talking about this, that when they finally did win a championship after trying for so long, that they were almost looking around like, is that it? You know, they thought it would be so much more because they were pursuing it for so long that maybe they enjoyed the pursuit maybe even more than actually winning it. When you finally won one after so long and so many chances, what did you feel?
I felt like, you know, this is a team sport, not an individual sport. And we were finally lucky enough and good enough to win it. And the last team standing, what a great feeling. That's what you play the game for. That's what you strive for. But there's only going to be one winner. And so, you know, you just have to be able to live with the results, give it everything you have, and call it a night. But, you know, sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you do not.
After a great weekend in Chicago last week, the Big Three heads to Oakland tomorrow. First game begins live on Facebook, 7 o'clock Eastern time, and then on Fox Sports 1. Catch the other three games at 8 o'clock Eastern. He's the Big Three Commission, one of my all-time favorites, Clyde Drexler. Thanks, Clyde. We appreciate the time. Best of luck in Oakland this weekend, and best of luck the rest of the year as the commish.
Okay. Thanks, Clyde. I want to wish you continued success, as always, and we'll see you Friday at the Oracle Arena in Oakland.
All right. Awesome. Sounds like a date.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.